Let's go to Car Radio's Hannah Scott. Democrats are calling this decision a win that will help fix the state's regressive tax system, but Republicans worry it's going to keep business out of state and hurt consumers. So let's see who's right. Car Radio's Hannah Scott is here with more on the recent state Supreme Court decision on a tax on big banks. Hannah.
That's right. This is the tax on big banks that was passed by the legislature back in 2019. It's a B&O tax, a surtax, if you will, tax on that's added on top of other taxes that applies to banks that make more than $1 billion in annual profits. But it's assessed only on their economic activity in Washington state. The big implications on this one tend to be for those banks that are out of state on their profits, again, that are made here. Now, this was controversial from the get-go back when it passed the legislature in 2019.
This is what happens when you come with an idea that has not been in front of the banking committee.
Like much of what we've been doing when it comes to tax policy over the last 48 hours seems so rushed.
State Republican Senator Perry Dozier is ranking member on the Business, Financial Services and Trade Committee. He says the issues now.
Ultimately, what it's going to do is lead to an increase in cost for those people that maybe do business with out-of-state banks that meet that $1 billion threshold in annual growth, as they're going to obviously have their B&O tax increased another 1.2%. So with that, you may see more increases in the cost of doing services that'll get passed on to consumers. And I think that's probably the tough part with this, is that as we see when costs go up, usually it's pushed down to consumers.
Now, this decision came down unanimously from the state Supreme Court on Thursday, reversing the lower court decision from a King County Superior Court judge last year that shot down this this law, because it was, they said, discriminatory to out-of-state banks, a Commerce Clause issue, if you will. That the state Supreme Court said they didn't see it that way because it is applied equally and it is only on the profits of what you make in Washington state, not in your own state if you're a bank out of state. That's why they upheld it. The Washington Bankers Association are the folks who had sued to challenge this. And after the fact, after this Supreme Court ruling last week, they came out and said they're still convinced that this is a violation of the Commerce Clause. So there is the possibility, they're reviewing their options, of them taking this to the U.S. Supreme Court, because that, of course, would be a federal challenge at that point. The other issue with this is that this was passed in 2019. I don't know if you recall, I think we talked about it at the time, Dave. At very last moment as a title-only bill.
And so with this getting pushed through so rapidly in the last 72 hours of session, it took that total voice away from the people. And the unfortunate thing is, you know, when we do that, it's a disservice to our citizens of the state. Because if you are doing business maybe with one of these out-of-state banks, you're going to end up either getting a higher increase in your cost of doing business with them. And if so, you may not know that right off, but then you'll be looking to do business with another bank. So does it also lock out the opportunity or for other outside banks to come in? Or let's look at it this way. Does it lose potentially business for our state?
So those are the questions. He says there is good news, though, for our in-state banks.
Right now, I think that our in-state banks are protected regardless of this bill. And I think that's great for our state. But it's going to, again, affect some of our residents of our state that maybe have accounts with those other banks.
Now, our in-state banks are protected because none of them have $1 billion in profits or more. And the idea here, I don't think I mentioned, is the idea by the backers who got this bill passed was to try to, you know, write our regressive tax code. That's the idea with what this money would be used for.
Right. So we've had the B&O tax for a long time, which taxes gross revenue. So you're saying banks were exempt from this until this bill was passed?
I think this is on top of that. This is a separate tax. This is a separate tax just on those banks with profits of $1 billion or more.
So they were already paying a B&O tax. This puts a surcharge on the grounds that they can afford it, basically.
Right. And it's very much like the tax the Amazon, tax the rich, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
That's the idea behind it.
How much extra money does this bring in? So, I mean, the banks will say, okay, some customers will be nickel and dime to make up this tax, but does this then relieve some pressure on the other taxpayers?
I don't know. The money goes into the general fund, and I don't know that I have an estimate of how much it's expected to bring in. And whatever it was at the time in 2019, it would probably be different now either way. I think that I would be surprised if you don't see this still getting further challenged at the U.S. Supreme Court level at this point.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it will.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
Of big banks. Being big banks, have a lot of money.
Right? And the bankers are not happy at all.
There's a risk there. If the Supreme Court rules and this becomes the law of the land in every state, and you can bet that a lot of other states will take advantage of that, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. But again, you know, you've got this push to make this change in our tax code to really try to right the ship, if you will, that mm-hmm. the majority Democrats are trying to get through. We, at the same time, still have the ongoing case challenging the capital gains tax, which is going to be right around the corner and will, you know, be implemented, even if that court process is still going on, is my understanding. So
yeah.
I think we are in the cusp of some significant change here.